views and opinions expressed on Geeks Under the Influence are that of the panelists and not of our sponsors, Amazon.com and TeePublic. Parental discretion is advised.
We went and saw it. I've got HBO Max, and you know, I watched Justice League on there. But when Godzilla Kong came out, I was like, I'll just watch it on there, and you know, I'll put it in my own home theater, whatever. But the wife was like, no, that's something you have to see on the big screen. I was like, yeah, that's true, but like, do we really need to? Do we really want to? And I feel like, as much of a movie buff as I've been my whole life, it made me sad that my mentality now had shifted to, and it's not because of the pandemic, like, I mean, it is because of the pandemic, but it's not, like, I'm staying in my own bubble, and they keep 2 chairs distance between you and your group and everything, so that wasn't my concern. My concern is more the other people with the crying kids. We had people behind us during Godzilla vs. Kong that had like a 5-year-old with them. And I'm like, God, I don't miss this. Like,
yeah.
And I spent $100 on food and the tickets.
Fair enough.
And it was
That's why I'm excited that they just opened up for the season that Goochland Drive-In is back open again. And you know they're going to get Godzilla vs. Kong. Because they're probably going to get a decent rate on that for showing it in the movies. And as far as a thing that you want to see at a drive-in is a giant lizard fighting a giant monkey. Like, I want to see that on a drive-in theater screen with my popcorn and definitely not food I brought from home in my car watching this thing.
You should not be bringing food from home on a place as cheap as Gooch and
No,
Dog.
That is
That's
actually
just
true.
Being
the
too
Gooch
cheap.
Dog is like macaroni and cheese with sweet barbecue sauce and a hot
still
dog.
The worst name.
Yes.
Dude, if you, if it, like, seriously, Gooseland Drive-In is so fucking cheap. If you're still bringing in stuff, then
you
should just stay the fuck at home.
That is a fair point.
Okay. But yeah, dude, and, like, drive-ins were made for monster movies.
Oh, fuck
yeah. And yeah, so speaking of Godzilla and Kong, I think the original was released in, 1962. So, you know, going to see it in a drive-in was pretty common at that time.
It's homage.
That's where you would have gone. And that was in black and white. Maybe they'll do that again with this one.
The heyday of the drive-ins were the 60s and 70s, and they had, like, exploitation films and monster movies and creature features. That was really what people went to the drive-ins to see, was not these big blockbuster films, because that wasn't even a thing back then, until, like, Jaws in 75. They went to see these movies that you get, like, 8 movies on one DVD of, like, creature features. That's what you used to see in the drive-in. And
went to party and Nookie.
And with Godzilla vs. Kong, like, that is 100% what it is. It does not have as much of the social commentary as the Japanese version of Godzilla tends to have. None of that. That is not happening.
And I am 100% okay with that.
Yeah. This isn't supposed to be some social commentary. It's giant monsters fight each other.
It's Pacific Rim, but with the OG kaiju.
Yeah.
There is some, you know, subtext of social commentary in there, especially when it comes to... Especially when it comes to two monsters working together to fight against something built by humans.
Oh, I thought you were going to say the 20-minute love letter in the middle of the film to fucking conspiracy theories that happened in this thing. Where they did, like, the checklist. They're like, okay, so Hollow Earth, okay, cool, we're both good with that. Okay, and yeah, Godzilla, yeah, cool. Tap water? Fuck tap water. Fluoride. And I'm just like, okay, Dr. Strangelove, settle down. And I was waiting for them to be like, okay, who drinks the blood of babies for Satan? It was like, oh, Hillary Clinton. I was waiting for the QAnon thing to just jump in on there. And
I haven't seen that guy anywhere else, that actor. But I would like to think that that's probably his first big role. That dude was just like, I don't know what to do. Give me some coke. Yeah. Give me some coke and I will fuck this scene up, good or bad.
I'm excited on this episode that we're talking about a movie that one of the main characters, the driving force at the beginning, is a podcaster. It's actually a podcaster.
Yes.
So there's something nice about that. But we are going to get into that and talking about kind of the weird continuation of the Godzilla and King Kong story that happened in Godzilla vs. Kong and some of the giant leaps they chose in the plot on this one. But ultimately, the overall fun of watching two giant monsters fight each other. On this episode of Geeks on the Influence, all things Godzilla vs. Kong.
Buildings that were and shall be again. A changing of the guard, the dead's marching in. You think you can hold out, but you know you're wrong. So you better join us now. You better do it fast or you will be. Necronomicon gives us power rise from the dead. You play the tape, our blade begins to spread. You can fight all you want, but it's futile to resist. We're here to take the world.
Bong.
Was that Kong? Is that what Kong does?
Yeah. That's just when he pouts.
Bong. Yeah, yeah. Oh, and he was a pouty motherfucker in this movie too.
Yeah, right.
I did very much enjoy Godzilla versus Kong, and there's a lot of mixed feelings about this movie, and I think it's relating to what people expected versus what it was, and I think that is what needs to be calm down on, is that your expectations of a film doesn't mean that it's good or bad if it doesn't meet them. They're not supposed to be your fan fiction. They're supposed to be an actual film, and that's what this was, I believe.
What the fuck were people expecting? It's a goddamn giant lizard and a goddamn giant monkey. What the fuck? Sorry. I got, like, it's a fucking monster movie, dude. What the fuck were they expecting? I haven't read anything. I'm sorry.
In every single one, especially in this particular trilogy, every single one is shit talks the human element. It's like, listen, every single monster movie has a human element, or else people would just be watching, you know, Discovery Channel back. CGI made piece of shit.
Way back to black and white, there's always a shit on human element.
But
right?
I mean, it's just, I've also seen on social media from this movie that people shit on the original American Godzilla movie and King of the Monsters for having too much human element in it.
Wait, 2014, you're talking about the one with Bryan Cranston?
Like, yeah, the reboot they did?
Okay. Sorry, one. I was trying to make sure you were talking about the 96 version.
No, not the Matthew Broderick.
Yes. Yeah, the Matthew Broderick one. I just wanted to clarify. I just wanted to make sure we're on the same page.
Something. Yeah.
Because if I have to talk about that movie, it's going to be a different podcast.
Godzilla Bueller's Day Off.
Yeah, right?
With some wallflowers on the soundtrack.
And some Yoshis. They had some Yoshis from, like, the Super Mario
Bros. No, I didn't want to talk about this. Stop. Mike, Hobbit, where were you?
So there was a lot of complaints with those movies that there was too much about, like, the family element involved in that. And then there's this movie where they're just like, fuck the dad from the last one. It's just the daughter and she's a conspiracy theorist and they're underground and then Hollow Earth. Cool. They, like, did not give a fuck about the people too much. And people were just like, the plot didn't make sense. What do you want? Like, there's no plot relating to Godzilla and Kong themselves. They're just gonna be like, ooh, other monster. I fight other monster. That's it.
Ever since the 2014 Godzilla, they have slowly removed the human element. Like, so, yeah, the first 2014 Godzilla, there was a shit ton of family human element. Like, Bryan Cranston knew that the kaiju that got woken up is the reason that his wife's dead, and he's just fixated on that and proving that he's not crazy. And there's so much human element of the response to a giant fucking monster roaming across the fucking North America, right? But then you go to Kong Skull Island, and you're starting to get more of a 50-50 mix of monster battles, human element kind of thing. And then when you get to Godzilla, King of the Monsters, you see the shift where it's more like 75, it's like 60-40, right? Mm-hmm. A lot of fucking monsters. All the monsters are bowing down to Godzilla like they should. And there's very little human interaction. You see the progression of the company through Millie Bobby Brown's character and her mom from The Conjuring and the dad. And the mom sacrificed herself. So by the time you get to this movie, to me, it just seems like fucking playbook telling a story, and literally you've slowly diverting it from one thing to another to make it to where we have a giant fucking monster battle movie. Am I wrong?
I did think in the credits, naming her the mother, she's from The Conjuring, was a little bit much. Like, probably should put her name in there. But
Mrs. Bates.
I know her from The Departed. She was the psychiatrist in The Departed. True.
So my thing with this mother? Has been, this is the discussion I had with my wife about it. So I watched the other ones in anticipation of this to try and remember. Because basically, when you're watching those movies, it's like, the monkey and the thing. They all did a bunch of things. But you're right. The human element aspect of it, I think that's a development of cinema itself becoming more, and this is, forgive the wording on this, but more inclusive of people. Because a blockbuster, quote unquote, like this movie, there are people that don't go watch monster movies. There are people that want to see how it affects the everyday person or blah, 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 blah. So they try to incorporate a lot of that stuff. In my mind, they try to incorporate all that stuff so that you get a bigger audience. And then it's like, oh, cool. And there's these big monsters fighting. But you're right. When it comes to the first three between Godzilla, Kong, and then King of the Monsters, and then this, I feel like thinking about it in terms of a larger universe, they were like, yes, all of the human stuff is affecting, but if you look at Godzilla versus Kong, so many buildings got destroyed in this one that thousands of people had to have died. I mean, there were still people running through the streets when Mecha was running blowing shit up. And I'm thinking,
truth.
I thought you guys were supposed to be gone by now. So it was literally just to show that these people were all dying.
Well, what about the ships?
Yeah. Yeah. That was the other thing that was, one of the things I did want to touch on that was weird to me. Like, you know, there's two extremely large creatures battling on an aircraft carrier. I'm pretty sure it's going to sink down a little bit. Like,
a little bit, yeah.
We've got like eight ships that are sinking, and everyone on there is dead.
I'll suspend my disbelief to a hollow earth and a giant monkey, but come on, that ship should have been a little bit lower in the water. No,
my suspension of disbelief was actually that the Apex Corporation that's building a giant robot Godzilla hired a dude with a level 3 security clearance that has a conspiracy theory podcast about Godzilla.
Background like, checks mean nothing,
who's doing
apparently.
Background checks.
Right? Who the fuck?
Let's do some background checks. Google your name real quick. It was like, oh, yeah.
I had to get a background check to work at a comedy club, okay? And they. Yeah.
Speaking of, let's talk about our. Work at McDonald's. You should get one to work at a biotech lab.
And let's quickly talk about our human element on this episode before we move any further forward. the gentleman that got a background check to work with comedians at a comedy club from the Help Wanted podcast and Spider-Bite Studios. We've got Carl Tron, the Carlton K is here.
Hey, what's up, everybody?
Happy
what's
to have you
everybody?
Back here,
what's
man.
Up, everybody? God damn it. Ooh, I've actually had more drinks already. Than I anticipated.
Yeah, you you prepped properly for this show here.
Last minute.
And you're empty too, bro. You might want to,
Speaking of last minute, that is when the next panelist arrives usually. For anything that that we arrange, it's usually the last minute. Living on his own time, the co-host of Geek Fathers, Mr. Kyle Smash.
What's up, bud?
How you doing, bud?
Get you good there?
I'm wondering if you have any kind of weird, like Superman level affectation for either one of these monsters in this movie.
Well, Godzilla. I grew up. Me and my close friend. We grew up watching them pretty much all the time, especially Fox After Midnight. We would see them a lot. Come on, and that's so we got obsessed with them. Then we go to the to the movie store, even somewhere around, I guess, not just Blockbuster, but even your local ones like Movie Time. We would go in there and we'd find as many as we could or rent at the time. So yeah, I've always been obsessed. I mean, my favorite was always actually not Kong. I was not a huge Kong fan until Skull Island came out. But I will say that, you know, when it came to this movie, I was, of course, rooting for Godzilla. But it's such a like a brawler sort of situation. And Kong's just like, that motherfucker's like, beer bottle up your ass. Like, that's, I'm going to headbutt you. Whatever I can do to hurt you, that's what I'm going to do. And Godzilla's like, I'm just going to shoot you. You know, I'm going to Wick you in Tokyo.
He's going to Indiana Jones him.
Yeah.
I thought it was a bit of a cheap shot, though, to have Kong in the black suit in this movie.
I think so.
I thought it was a cheap, tactic.
They CGI'd off his mustache, too, which I thought was... having him have the curly handlebar mustache in the first place was a weird choice. And then just to remove it CGI.
I mean, that was the homage to the 30s version of it, I think.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Just twirling the mustache.
The 30s Kong, with the twirly mustache.
Well, Kong would have the goat. Kong would be like this. All right.
Kong just on Skull Island lifting triangular weights.
In all seriousness, though, Kong had a straight beard. He had a fucking beard. Like, full-fledged, like, beard. Like, I remember watching him, like, holy fuck, he has a fucking beard. Like, if you look below his jaw,
it's this perfect trim
fucking beard. It's crazy.
Now, the gentleman that does not need to watch any of these movies because he is a real-life kaiju is my co-host on this podcast and helps me run the network here at Geeks Under the Influence. We're talking about Lowdown Brown MacGyver.
What's up, everybody? I'll take that. Yes. Real life kaiju?
Kaiju.
Anytime you're on Miles of Madness or on this show, I just hear, let them fight, like in the background when you're talking.
Pretty much. and that's what I was really stoked for this movie. I mean, yeah, I'm kind of with Kyle. I grew up watching. I was rooting for Godzilla, not because I didn't like Kong. They just didn't put as much into Kong throughout the years that they did with Godzilla. Godzilla had so many different iterations from the different director and producing companies throughout the years that we had so much more story with Godzilla. Kong didn't get that treatment, you know, and
just Skull Island.
Exactly. If we had gotten that much from Kong, I probably would have been like 50-50. But growing up, pretty much with Godzilla, I was like, oh, Godzilla's going to kick his ass. Because he is the fucking king of the monsters.
There were a couple lesser-known Kong movies over the years. There was like Son of Kong and a couple other
ones. I've seen those, but they're still not as... That's like a fucking 16th of the amount of Godzilla movies we've got.
True, and also it felt like a knockoff of the Godzilla movies at that point where, you know...
Son of Godzilla and all... Yeah.
Kong came before Godzilla, but the later iterations definitely felt like it learned something from the Godzilla movies as to how to approach the kaiju genre.
In this conversation, I will back Kong because Kong was the OG. You know what I mean? He was the original monster, like...
Gorilla,
that style of monster, OG. You know, this giant...
I mean, Grandmaster Flash was an OG too, but I wouldn't put him in a rap battle against Busta Rhymes. I mean,
no, all I'm saying is that, you're right, 1930s fucking giant gorilla versus when Godzilla came out in the 50s. Giant lizard, you know. So there wouldn't be a Godzilla in my mind if it wasn't for the 1930s Kong movie.
Yeah.
So you got to look at it that way too, right?
True. That's true.
You know,
and you have the two different characters, and for whatever the social commentary on either, you know, Kong was something that already existed, you know, within, you know, that reality, and there was human beings that were worshiping it, right? And that's where he kind of started. Aside from this movie giving him, you know, I guess some special axe, like some Thor hammer axe thing, you know, in the Hollow Earth.
I'm
not talking shit. I'm just saying. And then, you know, Godzilla being born out of the nuclear age, he was saying, you know, this is our like greatest fear of what's going to happen with the radiation of, you know, that we've put out there because of these nuclear testing. And that's where that creation really came from. So one is Kong's connected to the human element. And one is this one's created by the human element.
Yeah.
I did a little bit of research on this because I felt like I was lacking in my Kong Godzilla lore knowledge. And what's weird to me about this whole thing, especially in this movie, and obviously if you're listening to this, spoiler alert, but with Kong having been quote unquote created before Godzilla, I find it interesting that the actual lore from it is that the Kong bloodline or whatever worshipped Godzilla more or less and built that temple to him and all that. Like as if when you watch the movie and the axe is made out of a spine of another Godzilla and blah, 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 that shit that's in the ground and around in the temple and all this other stuff. Supposedly, the way they explained it or the way they showed it was the apes created this temple to honor Godzilla, but that just seems weird to me. It's like almost like they retconned the whole thing to make the nuclear monster something that they worship. Like it just seemed, I feel like they're shifting it around a little bit to make it kind of shoehorn it into their narrative, but if you look back at the history of Godzilla and stuff like that, it just seems kind of like a cheap way to do it. Like, I feel like what Lowdown said, I feel like they should have had at least a second Kong movie before they, you know, did the Kong versus Godzilla because, you know, they did Godzilla King of the Monsters. They should have done like Kong, you know, stepfather of the gods or something, like giving him a different, giving him his own sequel too, to like, you know, flesh it out a little bit more, because all of a sudden it's like, oh, we're in Hollow Earth and this is where he's from. And why is there a sun that doesn't make any sense? Where's the light coming from? God damn it. That was my biggest hang up about the whole thing.
So you're saying when you mix a American and Japanese property that harkens back to almost 100 years ago that it started and you shoehorn it into a American popcorn flick, there might be a little bit of clunkiness with the plot. Is that what you're really...
Agreed. That was my thing. I'm totally down for just entertainment value, but there are some people out there that are so hardcore about the lore of it that I felt the need to do some research to at least familiarize myself with what they're bitching about.
I think that and we're gonna finish the introductions after this. I promise. But, no, but this is
geez,
this,
this, this, half time,
this
episode,
is in timing to Carlton, where you, I think what they did was, and they did, I think they really did this with King of the Monsters, Godzilla King of the Monsters, was they did, in fact, retcon some of the Japanese iterations that they, that we had, because, like, so when Godzilla came out, you just, you got introduced to two totally brand new kaiju that you've never seen, a male and a female version, right? Kong Skull Island took you back in time, where it was just Kong fighting other kaiju that were on that island, but you
would
knew
you
there
consider
was
those kaiju, though, or were they just prehistoric leftovers?
They, yeah. Well, they, I think if you look at the lineage,
maybe
of
the
kaiju,
big one.
There's like some lineage of kaiju, like stuff on online you can go look up. Yeah, yeah, I think the big one that he fought at the end was the kaiju version of the small skull crawlers, you know? Yeah. And then when you get to Godzilla King of the Monsters, you see all these other kaiju that have come, that were woke, you know, they were woken up by the call kind of thing.
Dude,
right?
What is that crab one going to do? Like,
well, that was Godzilla versus the fucking sea monster, dude.
Well,
that's
again, the retcon of the history of it all is, you know, again, because of the research, because of people being the way they are, the whole concept of it was that Kong and Godzilla were not symbiotic because, you know, apparently the monkeys built the temple because they have opposable thumbs, but the worshiping of Godzilla and all that stuff, once all of Kong's ancestors died, all the other kaiju went out into the world out of Hollow Earth and then went into what they called the Great Sleep or whatever.
Yeah.
If you follow that mythology for it, it, you know, again, they don't explain any of that in the movie, so you kind of have to do your own, you know, backstory on it, but part of that is like, you know, and again, they're shoehorning stuff in with like Rodan and all that, or however you say it, with him being an alien Rodan version. Like, it was all these weird
Ghidorah.
Shit against the wall and seeing what sticks, but it's enough of an homage to the old stuff that people are happy, and it's not too terribly complicated so that the new people can go like, oh yeah, okay, that's cool, big monster. Like, they don't,
from the old class, I don't have a problem with that, because I didn't really necessarily want a rehash. If they were trying to make this like, you know, successful to where we could keep getting more of these, retconning it enough to where, like you just said, it kind of dumbed it down enough for new people, but with enough for older people to latch onto, I was okay with that. And
yeah,
what I got from, you know, how they did the Kong and Godzilla thing was, yeah, the whole worship thing, but in this one, I don't think they focused as much on the nuclear man-made thing is what made Godzilla. Godzilla was there before versus the OG man-made Godzilla. Now,
and that was the
Godzilla's
fear of the time.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, fucking atomic age, dude, right? I mean, there's been thousands of albums, thousands of movies, thousands of fucking everything written about that. What I'm saying is, with this, is I think we can take that out, where Godzilla isn't man-made in this iteration. Godzilla is, in fact, equal to the level of all the other kaiju. Like, none of these are man-made.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, man did not create Godzilla in this.
You know who is man-made, though?
Donkey Kong, the man who created this shit show that we're listening to, the man who is running this network.
Donkey Kong.
And you will be called Donkey Kong for the rest of this fucking episode.
That's Donkey Kong Jr.
Donkey Kong Jr., because he's short.
Hey, it's better than Donkey Kong.
We got Mike Dabba-Bickett. Yeah. It was a late intro for him, but some people went off fucking tangents.
We have a few minutes before our first break. I'm Mike the Hobbit-Bickett, and that's one of our latest intros we've done. And yeah, you're listening to Geeks Under the Influence. Check out all our stuff at GUIpodcast.com. Rate and review. Follow all the other shows on the network and what have you. And I've been doing some stuff to the studio, getting ready for us to do like live in-persons in the not-too-distant future. We've got like a little swivel screen like on the table so we can like watch trailers together. We've got like multiple webcams, all sorts of cool stuff. I now know from watching this movie, I also need to incorporate a charging station for my iAx. Like they did in this movie.
And you also have to lift those weights behind you so that you can lift the fucking thing.
Yeah, that's just for show. That's just
totally just for show.
I see the towel is hanging on. It's really just a towel rack.
No, that's actually a Deadpool mask.
Oh, well, yeah.
It's got dust. The weights haven't changed. It's just a thing there.
The weight you got on there, 30, 35 pounds, you beast.
They're styrofoam, too.
That's why I framed the video from just like the shoulders up. So it's like, no, I'm a beefcake. Under the frame,
we see your face, bro.
Yeah,
BK. It's all muscle. all muscle in these cheeks.
It's all neck.
It's from all that smiling you do.
I love. I'm really digging your lifelike juggernaut cosplay that you're doing with the giant head.
Under this beard, my cheeks have a six pack. That's the way I like it.
Lifelike juggernaut. The fuck. Oh God.
Missed you guys.
Missed you too.
Oh, the shit talk is amazing. It's so good. It's
speaking
so good.
Of shit talk, I do want to get good. Into like the concept of Hollow Earth, and that apparently Hollow Earth is only about a quarter of a mile below the Earth of Hong Kong.
Apparently. What the fuck? Yeah, okay.
When they can see
horrible.
Each other, when they can literally scream and hear each other, like I was like, all right, this is fucking stupid. Like,
yeah, that was the part.
Digging a hole to China, guys. Digging a hole to China. It's like Bugs Bunny and fucking Kaiju. Uh-huh. Like the fuck, man. Stupid.
If you take that shit compared onto the science that we have, like here in reality and our reality at the very least, you know, they could kind of do whatever the fuck they want. Because once you throw in Hollow Earth, like that kind of journey to the center of the Earth situation in there, it all goes out the window. It's like going to the center of the sun. Physics literally break down. You can't understand
I would.
It.
Well, they brought that up with the gravity, though.
Standard. Normally, please. I would agree with you, but Lowdown just touched on this. The entire middle of the movie is about how they have to have these billion-dollar ships that literally look like tardigrades or whatever, and they somebody's brother died, and that's why he's trying to get all of this science that they built around it so that they can make it down this really long channel tunnel to get to the center to do the whole thing. And then Godzilla goes, bleh, and opens a hole in like 2 minutes. It's like, what the fuck are you talking about?
All they had to do is go to Hong Kong with a plastic beach shovel and like dig for a couple minutes.
Dig
they
down
have...
the
I don't, that's an oversimplification, dude. Godzilla's
Look,
energy blast
down the
is not...
hole at Godzilla.
Yeah.
Or down the hole at Kong.
Godzilla was blasting
Come
for a
on.
Minute, though, but it's still simple.
In
Godzilla
same,
was blasting for a minute.
In the though. Same exact city where,
yes.
where this is happening. They have an installation that goes 30 floors down, which means the 30th floor of that installation is like 2 feet from reaching Middle Earth, and they just stopped too soon.
What?
Like, that's where we're at.
Well, so like, on the gravity thing, soon. In yeah, terms of going fast enough to get to the center, because it's obviously a lot farther down, which still makes it amazing that his atomic breath was able to somehow penetrate and that fast. And that would mean his atomic breath is moving roughly probably at the speed of light. So, you know, in this, they're going through these wormholes, but really they're just sort of like, you know, like a thruster, you know, it throws them into the center. So the gravity is only within there. And once they get to the center, it's pointless.
That's the part that I have the pro, like, again, the science that they were throwing out there as gospel, I guess, is the best word for that. But the way they were doing it, they were like, the gravity's going to reverse. Correct me if I'm wrong, but if you're heading toward the center of the Earth, the gravity is the same until you get there. Isn't it?
Then once you break the other side, right? When you break the other side.
Unless you're going all the way through, then gravity would reverse. Like,
exactly.
That was the part, like...
Then you reach out for the giant mountain finger, and then you're good.
Like, that's the thing. The first three movies, I'm like, that was the problem, the argument I had with my wife. The first three movies, I am completely on board with a giant monkey and a giant lizard and other giant animals and a moth and all. I am totally on board because there is nothing that dispels the quote unquote gigantic science of the thing. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
You kept it within the realm of believable physics. This entire movie was based around physics that made no sense. Including the drilling of the hole, the flying of the shit, like all of that stuff made no sense to me. And that's what took me out of it for a half a minute. Now, was it still entertaining? Yes. It was a giant monkey and a giant lizard beating the shit out of each other.
Yes.
Totally down. But what the hell?
The radius of the Earth is 3,958 miles.
So
which
Godzilla
means,
blasted. Three?
So he blasted. Not only that, but then Kong was on the other side of it and was like, yo. And then ran up the tunnel and met him in like 4 minutes.
Wouldn't that be climbing, not running?
They turned Earth into a giant glory hole.
Yeah. So basically, like, if this was realistic as far as like Kong's
Mother Earth, glory
maximum
hole.
Climbing speed and the radius being 3,900 miles, Godzilla would have to be like patiently waiting at the top of that hole for like 3 weeks. Well, Kong just like didn't nap,
Just the shit.
No bananas, no snacks, just climbing the whole time.
Pure determination, son.
For weeks. And then at the end of it, Godzilla's like, I don't even want to, why were we even fighting? I don't remember anymore.
Yeah, like, seriously.
Do you need a moist towel? Like, are you okay? You've been doing so much climbing.
Also, what kind of what does that mean for now that there's this giant hole? So, like, not any human can, long as they can just slide down there, or maybe an elevator, I don't know.
Korea is now just a giant hole to the center of the earth.
You know what it becomes?
It's not like you can backfill that. Where did the debris go, for crying out loud?
It got vaporized.
No,
by
you know
lightning.
What it is? They're going to turn the whole of Hollow Earth is going to be an airport. That's what it's going to be. Because you can go to any destination on Earth.
You know what? This is where the Total Recall movie transitions in.
So wait, did Total Recall not really take place on Mars? It was actually in Hollow Earth?
Yeah, it was. They were like, oh, you know what? We could just do that here now.
Yeah, it was Godzilla sequel, Godzilla. Actually. Yeah.
Philip K. Dick saw the future. Philip K. Dick saw the future.
Jesus. You know who this movie really upsets, though? There is going to
the
be
flat
a
earth,
huge
flat earthers.
Flat earthers, exactly.
Yeah, flat earthers, yeah.
You've just made us into a giant record. What the hell?
Well, and you know, there was one conspiracy theorist that at the beginning of this is like, oh man, they're talking about tap water. Like, this is going to be fucking rad. Like, they get conspiracy theories. They're super on board with this. Yeah, there's underground tunnels that traverse the planet that the super rich use to transport all their goods. There's probably, like, children that the pedophiles are getting from those tunnels and shit, you know, just like really getting into it. And then they're like, and they're going to Antarctica, and they're like, wait, no, but the Earth's flat, though. That's the border, is Antarctica. What are you doing?
And Pizza just, Rat's got nothing pissed. On the maglev tunnels.
And as much I do love this movie, I enjoyed it for what it was, but parts of it, and just like the Hollow Earth, I kept in my mind, I'm like, I feel like I'm watching like a really expensive episode of Ancient Aliens. Like, just with their I kept expecting, like, the dude with the hair to come out and be like, it's because
monkeys.
Of aliens? Yes.
Lizards, man. Lizards.
Man-made.
I'm probably going to catch shit for this, but I'm going to say it. This movie was totally the culmination of all the other movies they did, so three, in this iteration of it, where you put your brain out, and then you go watch the fucking monster movie. It's literally the monster movie version of Fast and the Furious, where you can enjoy these movies.
Absolutely.
That's totally what it is.
Yeah, it's junk food for the brain, which is fine. That's what most of us live
on. I was raised on junk food for the brain, so I'm all good with that. Like,
and honestly, part of the fun of this for me is that I'm used to watching like garbage monster movies that the plot makes no sense.
Now you get to do it with a huge budget.
With a huge budget. Like, it's that movie, but with really good CGI effects. Like, I'm so fucking down.
The CGI was on point, though, bro.
The CGI was on point.
Really good.
The part that got me the end of that, though, was the thing that brings down Mechagodzilla is some fucking whiskey and a computer.
Right?
So
I love the power of whiskey, so I'm cool with it.
Look, as many teachers as I've had destroy their computers by spilling their drinks on it, I'm going to be like, you see, it brings down Mechagodzilla too. That's why I can't tell you to keep your damn drinks away.
It would have been more realistic if they used coffee.
Right?
Yeah, that would have been more realistic.
Hey,
here's the thing.
Maybe the scientists are drunk because they're sad about the fact they're building this fucking total this world dominator, kaiju. Maybe they were depressed.
No, did anyone know Mechagodzilla had the same body shape as the 1990s American Godzilla did?
No, No, that was a salamander or a gecko.
The Mechagodzilla looked pretty close, actually, to the OG Mechagodzilla.
Just saved a bunch of money on my car insurance.
With the Mechagodzilla, I didn't understand the whole need for the satellite. I was like, yeah, shut him down, but you kind of didn't. So now he can't use his weapons, but he can still beat the shit out of him, like with his bare steel or titanium hands.
They didn't have a firewire cable long enough to go from the head of the other kaiju to the Mechagodzilla. Well, it kept getting caught on stuff.
It was a complete Armageddon moment where it's just like, you know, this is not how you do it. Like, he's just hitting it with a fucking wrench. And he's like, you know, that's how we fix it back in Russia.
Like, does Hong Kong not have Wi-Fi? Like, why do you have to go to the satellite?
The more we talk about this, the more I'm realizing there were other things that, again, I'm willing to suspend disbelief to a degree, but there was so much suspension here. It was beyond my comprehension. And the more we talk about it, the more I'm like, using the head of the dead kaiju with all the fiber optics connected to some dude. that was controlling it, and then it wasn't like all
that
of
gave
that
it the
stuff,
power enough to do
I
that.
Mean,
and they let it
yeah,
into the end of King of the Monsters.
Then they didn't have a way to power it until they got the magic juice from the center of the earth. Like all of this stuff was so much. There was so many large leaps that they made in this.
I wonder how they got the idea of like a kaiju infecting a human brain to power a robot, Pacific Rim 2, that
yeah.
they used for this movie.
Like yeah, I mean, I get that you got to move the storyline along. You can't make it a 4-hour Justice League kind of thing, but it was so many leaps that it was mind-boggling. Like there were parts of it where I'm going, "What is this now? Why are oh, okay? Just watch the monkey."
You know, there was a lot
wizard.
Of fuck it. He shoots a hole to the center, like in the writer's room. I'm just, who fucking cares?
How does he get there? You know what? He shoots a hole. Done. Write it down.
Yeah, right? That's going to cost $20 million. We got it.
Yeah. And that's where we were at. We like, you know, we're all watching it. Wife had fallen asleep, but the kid and I are watching. We're like, fuck it. It's a fucking lizard plowing a hole through Earth with his giant laser beam breath. Like, I don't even give a fuck.
So this is where the best part of watching movies like that comes from. So when you're watching it, you do take your brain out and you put it.
Oh, yeah.
It's
exactly.
Like eating fast
I give
food.
No fucks.
But eventually you have to process that fast food. And usually what comes out is diarrhea. So,
yes.
And that's
this is the diarrhea.
To GUI. That's what this podcast is. All right.
This is the Godzilla versus Kong diarrhea that we're at. This is the McDonald's.
We saw the visual. Now we're just giving the verbal.
I'm fucking here for it. In the like 2014 Godzilla, they had that like chorus as the skydivers are like coming in through the clouds to San Francisco. Like,
now that
really,
was a cool visual.
Really
I will
fucking
say.
Cool. And it's like intense, and they're trying to make it like have some kind of like statement. And then you jump to this movie, and it is like the Fast and the Furious movies, where at the end they're just like fuck it, robot monster head, just not giving a shit.
It is like the Fast and Furious, but it's
I want
Fast
them to
and
go
presents.
Lean in way fucking more and just do like okay, Kong's got an axe that he can charge like a fucking iPod. Cool. Like, we give him that. And then Godzilla next time, they just give him fucking machine gun arms. And they just keep making it, like, weirder and weirder as they go.
I'm down. I'm in. So, I'm in for that.
Like
again,
a Borg.
Watching it, you just accept it. But when you start to, like, pick it apart and analyze it like we're doing, there are so many things that were just insane. Like, when you break them down, they're insane. They, like, so the Kong's ancestors built this temple. Okay, I'll give you that. They could figure out how to make tools, and they made all of their arches perfectly symmetrical. Okay, I've got full-grown adults that can't do that shit.
There were
some
masons.
Legos.
There were masons that were giant.
Yeah, they're
gorillas.
Fucking exactly on a giant scale.
There's some dude talking about we got to work overtime this weekend. Like
pulls out of the skull of a dead monster, fits into the ground like a charging station. That we can't even master now as adults with our technology. Like, just
charging.
So much of the stuff made so little sense. And then, like, the beam out of Godzilla can charge the axe back up. Okay, I'm with you there. It's still a fucking axe.
But
why
that
does
makes
it need
sense
to
because it's a dorsal. It's essentially his.
It's one of his fins. I get that. But it's like.
And his fins charge up before it comes out of his mouth. So that kind of.
I know.
That
but
part
it's, again, it's one of those things where you're watching it and. I feel like they picked and choosed the things that were in old movies and just didn't explain them. They just were like, oh, you know what? His fins charge up. You know what? We're going to have Mechagodzilla's fins charge up too, even though that makes no sense. It's going to tie together.
It did. It really didn't need explaining.
It did. Like, yeah.
Beautiful. It didn't need explaining.
It doesn't make sense to make the robot look like a Godzilla.
Yeah.
Like, if you're thinking about it, like, oh, we got to put spikes on it. Why?
Yeah. You know what? We should put four arms on it. Because when it fights Godzilla, he only has two. Why didn't we put four arms on this goddamn thing? Like, there's just, I mean, I get it. It is what Smash said. It's just junk food for the brain. But when you like movies and you like dissecting them because it's fun, you start to get into this loop of, like, wait a minute. Like, the more you think about it, the worse it gets in your brain. And you're like, why did I enjoy this so much? There's so much wrong with it. But it's still fun. Like, the whole point of it is fun. Like, that's the whole reason I don't understand why people like Fast and Furious. It's dumb, but it's entertaining. I would never own them, but it's entertaining.
Yeah, no, I won't spend money on them. But as long if it's streaming somewhere and I have a hair up my ass, I will fucking watch it. You know, I'll rewatch it.
It's a this movie was literally like Fast and Furious presents Hobbs and Shaw. Like they were taking
Hobbs and Shaw is a step above Fast and Furious. That movie was fucking The Rock and Jason Statham was awesome.
It is a step above until you get to the end of the movie where she's flying off the edge of a
Dude, that was so good.
I was waiting for Godzilla to be like, I'm too old for this shit, and you know.
Yeah.
No, I need that fucking crossover. I need where it's like Godzilla comes back and he's all like, I'm angry again because fuck it, don't need a reason. I'm just mad now. And then they need a special team to like get together to drive.
Hobbs and Shaw have to drive a Mustang up the tail of Godzilla to whoop his ass or something.
100%. Can we get that crossover, dude? Yes. That would be badass.
Please,
I will watch the shit out of that.
No, they got to fight both of them.
Meanwhile, no, but Vin Diesel would play both Kong and his character from Fast and the
Furious. Then you get The Rock to pilot Mechagodzilla. Like
and
then Mechagodzilla arms turn into tires. And then we're good to go.
We've got a triple crossover. We got Transformers. Godzilla versus Kong and Fast and the Furious.
You want
every
fanboy to simultaneously like lose their shit on message boards and also come? Like you just make those three combine together.
That's how you fry their computers.
Yeah.
Internal and external.
Always spinning gold here, GUI. Always spinning gold. I just can't help it.
Speaking of fraud, I want us to save up a little energy for the second half, so we're going to take a very quick break so you can listen to some of the other shows that are available on the network. When we come back, we're going to be talking about what we're drinking, do a drunken scene or two, and get into the remainder of our episode relating to Godzilla versus Kong and how drilling into the earth works on this episode. So stick around. We'll be right back.
Coming straight from the mouths of madness, I'm Lowdown.
I'm F.U. Hunter.
Do you love horror?
We fucking do.
So this is a podcast dedicated to all things in cinematic horror. We're talking movies, television, composers, special effects artists. We're going to fucking cover it.
So if you love horror,
embrace the madness.
In a world ravaged by movie studios that keep rehashing the same things, only one podcaster has the guts to make it even worse. Join Mike the Hobbit as he traverses the internet to bring you some of the best and worst ideas for reboots, remakes, and reimaginings of some of your favorite and least favorite TV and film properties. Ideas like a John Waters He-Man movie, Fantastic Four the Musical, and Aliens done entirely with marionettes. What podcast would bring this evil upon the world? This is Smack My Pitch Up. Available anywhere you get your podcasts.
Hey guys, Scotty Big Daddy Preston here. That's right, the Geek Father, asking you to join me here every other week with friends and family of the GUI Network as we go through all the trials and tribulations of being a geeky parent. So remember, join us or cry.
My name is Amy Bogard.
And I'm Mike the Hobbit.
And we are the hosts of Deeply Upsetting, where we use our expertise to answer your most upsetting hypothetical quandaries, such as, what non-wiggin animal deserves wings?
And what body part deserves a secret mouth?
Which cryptid is the worst roommate?
These questions and more that plague you will be answered on Deeply Upsetting, available anywhere you get your podcasts and at GUIpodcast.com. We're back for the second half of Geeks Under the Influence, all things Godzilla versus Kong. But before we move on with our second half, we're going to talk about our sponsors, the way that we make a little bit of cash so we can use that for equipment, for booze, for storage fees, all the things that come along with running a podcast. And first up is Amazon.com. It's where a lot of our equipment has come from. It's where oftentimes we purchase the movies and stuff that we're talking about on episodes. And also, if you want to go back and get some old Godzilla movies or Skull Island or King of the Monsters or any of that, you can do so through Amazon. Just make sure you do it through our link at GUIpodcast.com. Upper right-hand corner of the main page, click on that link, and anything you purchase through that link, we get credit for. So you're spending the same amount of money, we get credit for it, we get a couple bucks of what you spend. And so if you have issues with Amazon, but it's like that, it's a necessary evil kind of feeling about it, you can give less money to the necessary evil and give some of it to us by going through our link at GUIpodcast.com. Damn Amazon.com, we're trying to take money from them by you spending money. It's circular logic, but it's the best that I've got.
I was gonna say, hell of a sponsorship commercial for Amazon.
If they sponsor us, deal with it. We gotta go with it. Stop trying to make yourself feel better about it, Hobbit. It's just pathetic at this point.
I agree that it's pathetic, but I'm still gonna do it. So
it's fucking old.
Also,
Jesus Christ,
the better way to support is our TeePublic page, where we have, I think, over 30 designs at this point, from all the different shows, designs from panelists and showrunners, jokes from different shows, different designs for the different shows, all available on TeePublic. I'm currently wearing one of the newer designs, our Tucci Gang shirt, which I'm going to show the panel. Reference from an SNL bit, and also we've been loving the Stanley Tucci in Italy walking around eating Italian food show that's on CNN right now. It is just Stanley Tucci, very well dressed, and being lovely to everyone eating pasta. Like, it's such a great show. You can get a Tucci Gang shirt or a GUI shirt or any of our other designs through GUIpodcast.com/store, or just click on the TeePublic link on the homepage of our website, and you can get t-shirts, mugs, stickers, buttons, all sorts of stuff available with all the different designs. So that is the best way to help us out. We are still, at the moment, donating all of our proceeds that we get from TeePublic to the Holly Fund that helps out local restaurant workers in the Richmond area during this tough spot that everybody is in. So we're getting back to people being able to open up a little bit more and frequent restaurants. So there will be a point in the not too distant future that we're going to start, you know, keeping some of it. But for now, we are donating our proceeds. So help out local restaurants, sport our designs through TeePublic. And now on to the next part of our show. That is the part in which we talk about the real motivation for us getting together. The reason this started in the first place is just wanting to get drunk and talk with your friends. We're talking about what we're drinking.
Hey, we're fucking drinking. We're getting drunk. You want to know? Well, here you go. Hey,
we're drinking. We're getting drunk.
Yay.
I will be honest with you. While I was getting my drink between the break, that damn song popped into my fucking head while I was like, damn it. So catchy.
Yes.
It's weirdly.
Well, I can die. So I've accomplished something.
Yeah. I'm kind of excited.
Remember that guy
too.
That cured cancer? No, but I remember him for fucking yeah. coming up with that stupid drinking song.
You're in a Batman vs. Superman episode of the podcast. Oh, Jesus.
My singular focus of this show is getting popular enough that when Smash walks down the street, people just go, you want to know? Well, here you go. Hey. And then I'll be happy.
I just have to get drunk all the time and sing it in bars.
Well, that's, I mean, if we got popular, we got back to bars. For that, you get free drinks all the time. So that's a plus sign.
Yeah.
Speaking of drinks, we've got our what we're drinking. I am taking a leave of absence from drinking. I just got the second shot for the vaccine. So I'm giving my body some time to handle that before ruining it with booze again. So
it looks pretty ruined already, Mike.
I mean, that's why I had to pick one or the other at a time. Like,
I didn't realize that the COVID shot would make you blow up so big, but that's
all the shit.
It's just a filter.
My body is that I now have to work in single file. Like, I can't
not filter.
It just can't function on multitask at all. Like, it's just one thing at a time.
One thing at a time.
So one foreign substance at a time.
Exactly. So I foreign contaminant. A minute. So for our other panelists, do we have anything fancy we're sipping on this evening?
I have just Vienna Lager. Oh, what is that? Red
some
Stag?
Frozen ass Red Stag.
Yeah, you can tell.
Frost on that bitch, dude. That's some frosty shit. Oh, I mean, that's delicious.
Yeah. I did not realize. So normally I drink Red Stag in shots or like straight out the bottle like I did when I first started, but I didn't realize if you mix that with Diet Coke, it's like a black cherry Diet Coke. What the fuck?
There you
go. It is a cherry bourbon.
Never thought about mixing it with a drink.
One plus one equals two.
Yeah. You know what? I failed math-tastics.
Yeah. And the more you drink on that, the more other things you're going to be failing as well.
I was going to say, two equals four. It's just exponential two from that point on.
Truth, though, yeah.
Yep.
Because it tastes
That's
so
what
good.
I'm drinking.
And we got a Vienna Lager. Lowdown, you sipping on anything?
I had some Bell's Oberon earlier. Their spring wheat ale.
Nice. Yeah. This is a transition.
Because we got Bell's again.
Yeah, and this is a transitional period as far as drinking goes from the cold weather to the warm. So some new beers are coming out. Some beers for the winter are going away. So I'm excited to see what the warm weather brings for our drinking choices moving forward.
And we can get together and share in person.
I feel like it's the same as every other season. we go to lighter beers.
I will say I did. I almost opened it up, but I didn't want to get murdered by my significant other. She had me pick up the lemon lavender moonshine. Belle Isle.
Ooh, nice.
No.
So that we can make Mom Collins's for Mother's Day.
Jesus.
I don't know if you've seen those, but apparently that's a real thing. So
doesn't sound made up at all.
No.
Nope. Not at all.
So that is what we're drinking. What we're drinking's are a little bit weak when we're not in person, because that's part of the fun is sharing all the booze with our friends. So we can't do that quite as well virtually. But very soon, as the regulars are getting their vaccine shots, we're going to be doing some in-persons in the hopefully not too distant future. I'm very excited. So next one up, we, of course, are going to be doing what some people love about the show and other people shake their head, unfortunately, when it comes around. We're talking about making a drunken scene.
Making a drunken scene.
I did want to do stuff from Godzilla vs. Kong instead of doing Skull Island and King of the Monsters and what have you. So we have one short two-person scene and two just lines available for our panelists to go through.
I just want
to
be Bernie.
You want to be Bernie? Okay. Yeah, you can be Bernie. If you want, I can be Josh Valentine is the other part of that. And then we've got a Nathan Lind and another Bernie line as well.
Yeah.
I'll pick the final one, the
okay
sober line.
So what I guess, he said.
And then smash your, I guess, Nathan Lind.
Yeah.
The middle one. Yeah. All right. So this these are all Godzilla vs. Kong from this year.
I'm gonna piss people off with this.
So we've got Bernie starting with Lowdown. I'm Josh Valentine.
I thought you says you were a hacker.
I said I took an HTML course at summer camp.
HTML?
Summer camp.
Yay, woo, that was a great line. That's some really top-notch.
Good stuff. This is top-quality fucking...
Thank you for sticking around for that to the listeners.
Yeah, this is the quality material.
I'm actually going to skip over this when I re-listen to this episode.
Yeah, fair.
Yeah, I don't blame you.
Next time up, we got a Nathan Lind line from Smash here.
This is our only chance. We have to take it. We need Kong. The world needs him to stop what's coming. And this child, this bitch, she's the only one he'll communicate with.
Like the creative choices you made on your voice for that.
That was just that, doing a little ad-libbing. Where you, a little spin on it.
Where you just read it. Yeah, that was good. I liked when you did that.
None of this is bedazzling and stellar. So
speaking of bedazzling, Carlton, you got to bring it home for us.
You mean I got to die with you sober?
Yeah. Yeah.
There you go.
On this podcast?
Yeah. Right. That's where you... See, okay. No, his grunt was basically how we all felt.
Godzilla like, punches Kong. Wait, no, that's
not. Godzilla punches Kong, yeah.
Yeah, this,
we all had to die with that.
Yeah, this bit is dying. Onto the next part of the show here.
Mm-hmm.
I do want to dig in a little bit more into the Underground Railroad system that they have. I don't think that's what they call it. I think that's something else that they use.
That's really what it is a parallel to. Mm-hmm. Like you said, the slave trade thing for Kong.
Yeah, that's what it is.
It is literally their version
Millie
of the
Bobby
Underground
Brown
Railroad.
Is like the white British... Harriet Tubman.
Yep, that's
no not, fuck.
That is not our title for this
episode.
That
should totally be the title, though. Let's piss off all the triggered motherfuckers, please. Make that the title.
Yeah, there. I am.
The Brits
not,
are really known for that.
I am not naming this episode "White British Harriet Tubman." I think that's
amazing. That's so good.
Wow.
Lowdown.
I forgot how this goes off the rails in the second half. It's been a while.
You're going to need to put a disclaimer out, like a video disclaimer for that.
I don't need to put shit out. People can fuck off. I don't need to put shit out.
Oh, no. I learned a long time ago that Lowdown has very little patience on being the token black dude that explains all the dumb shit his white friends do. Like, no, there's no.
See, I thought we'd agreed in the first half that this was just going to be called Korea. Earth's glory hole. Like, I thought that was...
That's still not okay, apparently, to people. That would trigger all the Koreans and maybe start World War III with Korea. Ah, King Jong-un, gets butthurt easy.
If we're that close to the next world war, then fuck. Like, we're out of luck.
I doubt GUI is the tipping point.
Yeah.
I don't know. Just give, I don't know look, anymore, dude. I don't
if
know.
If a movie from What's-His-Face could trigger the bullshit that it did a few years ago from Kim Jong-un. Sorry.
Look, if we
I'm still tripping on the white British Harriet Tubman.
White British Harriet Tubman.
Survived the last 4 years, and that's what's going to trigger a world war?
Right, yeah.
Like, come on.
Yeah, we were the straw.
Yeah. I do like that they decided to just, like, introduce a bunch of, like, nonsense, like, super fancy technology to this iteration.
Yeah,
that,
and everyone was okay with it.
And nobody was like, what? That there's, like, levitation.
They got into a box, and it just maglevved through the fucking Earth to North Korea in 20 minutes. Like, what the hell? No one addressed that at all.
Why do you have to sit in the skull? I don't understand that part. Like, I really never, I didn't understand
that. I'm telling you, the more you think about it, the more it's like, what did I just watch?
No, look, as somebody that owns a lot of wires, you never have one long enough for the thing that you need it for. So he had to sit in because they just didn't have.
Is that the story of your life? You never have a wire long enough for the thing that you need it for?
Exactly my dating life.
Too many.
Amy, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Now, how did Kong not figure that they put a hole pretty much through the Earth themselves, and they didn't hit the hollow Earth, but they somehow were able to put a transit system basically through the Earth.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure how they just missed hollow Earth. Like,
yeah,
they were just a few feet from scratching
the
surface.
That maglev was traveling from, like, the U.S. to Hong Kong. If they had just, instead of transporting that way, if they just drilled down, they would have been good. They
could have taken a left turn at Albuquerque.
Yeah, right.
No, God.
They could have taken their water bear down there. And
Bugs Bunny.
Water bear.
Am I the only one that thought those things looked like tardigrades?
No. That's the first thing I thought.
Okay, good. I'm glad I'm not that disconnected from microscopic
reality. I think it would have been more somewhat believable if they had, like, a time lapse. Because, like, there's no way going to the center of the Earth took, like, 40 minutes. But the movie made it seem like it took 15. Like, I feel like that would be like a, you know, how long does it take to fly? So you take that, you say you pretty much cut the flight time in half. So you're looking at a solid, like, what, 9 hours to drive to the center of the Earth through the Earth?
It's a
and they make
a
it look
track.
Like, literally, it's 15 minutes.
I mean,
minutes.
It takes
like
me that long to get
ride.
Through the fucking Virginia Beach tunnel. So
no shit. Yeah. So they make it seem like it takes, like, quick. Fucking 10 minutes to get to the center of the Earth. I'm like, really, guys?
Yeah, and that tunnel's just under one river. So
yeah, it's like, what the fuck?
Don't you think Godzilla would have been like, what the fuck are they doing? Let me go check on this shit real quick.
Yeah.
Because this is how he
gets around. Like, how
he zips through.
Godzilla's beam is, like, as big as his mouth, okay? But when the hole is created, it's large enough for a full-size King Kong to come through. Like, come on.
What would have been so much better is if the beam, like, lengthens as it went, like, down. So Kong is just like, oh, I'm going to get you. And then spends 3 weeks climbing up this hole that's getting narrower and narrower.
Yeah.
Until
and then
just,
he just gets stuck, like,
just his head fits at the top.
And you just hear Kong just goes, just like Winnie the Pooh.
Think thin.
Just his head sticking out like a game of whack-a-mole. And Kong just, or Godzilla just goes, boop. Movie over.
Is right before the movie came out, there was a meme going around that apparently this is a thing that's being utilized a lot in movies now, and like Atomic Blonde is one example, where there's a thing called bisexual lighting, where it's pinks.
That's a hard turn. Okay.
No, well, follow me on this. In neons of pink, purple, and blue mixed together is what's commonly known as bisexual lighting for lighting in movies, and if you look at the scenes in Hong Kong,
so destroying Korea was just foreplay. Yeah.
If you look hold on. There was like a minute amount of that mix in the Hong Kong scene. There was a lot of yellow and green.
No. I will give Bick at this.
Yeah,
that entire thing looked like a cut scene from Cyberpunk.
Yeah,
2077. Like, that whole thing was just neat. I'm like, if they've destroyed this many buildings, the power grid would go down. I had a branch fall in my backyard. I didn't have power for a week.
No, I'm saying there was a lot of neon, but I did see a lot of yellow and a lot of green and a lot of other neon colors outside of just blue and pink and purple.
One of the initial fight moments between the two kaiju, there is just like pinks and purples and greens. Like, even the poster of them looking at each other, that's mostly in that range of color. And I just love that is actually a thing that's used in filmmaking is that color spectrum. And just the first production photos that were released were all in that color scheme of the two kaiju fighting each other. And the boards on some of these Facebook pages where that meme was shared, and the incel fanboys that lost their minds being like, Godzilla's not gay. What? Is that really the fucking hill that you're dying on? Is that the Look, giant lizard monster doesn't suck dick? Like, that's really where you draw the line.
So this was the part that I wanted to circle back around to in the first half, but I never got a chance to. And you guys are the experts on this because you've watched more of the Godzilla and Kong movies in the old ones than I have. Kong is a boy, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Why was there never any Konky Dong during any of this? Godzilla, no genitalia. Donkey Kong. King Kong, no genitalia. I get that it's, you know, but somebody said, oh, they do XYZ. Like, the whole point of the movie was that he was the last of his kind, but that means that they were making giant monkeys before. Like, how is the... Not that I wanted to see a giant, you know, monkey dick or anything, but I'm just like...
I feel like you're saying that you wanted to, just to prove.
Look, that's the alcohol talking.
That's why the reason you don't want to see it is the reason they didn't have it.
The red stag is...
There is a cut with the CGI dick in there.
Look, if they're going to do a cat's release, a butthole cat's release, they need to do a Godzilla versus Kong
Back
Dong
to the
release.
Butthole cats, Jesus Christ! It's gonna be Kyle, you're a fucking tongue punch.
It's a Blu-ray double feature of monkey dick cut and the butthole cut, like on one collection.
You do know that's gonna be a porn now. Like somebody will
absolutely
go.
What do you mean,
you know what?
Now
I'm getting somebody in a Godzilla suit.
Look, I was looking up. I was looking up bisexual lighting on Pornhub as Mike was saying it.
No, I don't know why they cut it out. They've cut it out throughout all of it, though. Like all of it. Like the Japanese came out and said Godzilla was a dude back in the OG iteration.
Yeah,
and obviously that Kong was a dude. And I mean, even Godzilla lore talks about Mothra was his like. Wife. I don't know how the fuck that works. But apparently... They
briefly touch on symbiotic relationships.
Women are kind of flighty.
Right?
No,
like,
I don't.
And they do touch on that Alton in King of the Monsters, too, where Mothra is overly protective of Godzilla versus the other kaiju, where she's like, I'm gonna die for you, bitch! Like,
well, and
she does
the
a kamikaze
reason I was bringing
on
it up was,
fucking,
again, it was full circle because I wanted to mention it in the first half, but what you guys were just talking about, you know, people... Fanboys are losing their mind about lighting, like bisexual light. What? It is literally a giant lizard and a giant monkey fighting, murdering
in
thousands of people
in Hong Kong.
In Hong Kong,
tons of neon lighting.
So many things make no sense.
Like, yeah,
there was
it's
a blip
okay.
in my brain.
Let it go.
Yeah,
like,
it doesn't even
holy
fucking.
Crap.
How does that even matter? It's like Hong Kong. There's neon lighting everywhere, so they use this particular color scheme. Does it really fucking matter?
No.
It's two giant kaijus fighting in Hong Kong. Who the fuck cares?
It changes over
none
from
of it
suspending
matters.
Disbelief to suspending reality, and that's
yeah,
fine.
Exactly.
It's entertainment. That's the point.
And go back to what I said at the beginning. This movie took my brain out. I want to watch two fucking monsters fight, and derba derba der caveman onga bonga movie over. That's all I wanted, and that's what I got from this fucking movie.
Captain,
fuck any other shit that was in this movie. Like, it's same thing with Zack, the Snyder Cut. Like, I feel like with the Snyder Cut, we just got a bare bones, well, not bare bones, it's four fucking hours, yeah. But no, I mean, I'm sorry, I'm as far as the social commentary bullshit we've been getting, like, force-fed, like, it's just an action movie, superhero movie.
Well, you know, look, if anybody went into this going, like, the thought process they went in, they're going to break it down when they watch it. They don't need to be watching it. Like, they don't.
Exactly.
Those aren't the audience that
this
movie is made for, and it never will be. If the human element bothers you in a movie like this, you need to go ahead and just go somewhere else. Catch up on some independents you missed on Netflix and really break that shit down, because that's the only way it's going to matter for you. This, like you said, are two giant monsters fighting, and they're going to destroy shit, and they've got no dicks. And they live in a hollow earth. There you go.
There's no gravity.
Most everybody doesn't actually give a shit about this. There's four QAnon fucks that believes that birds aren't real, that are jumping onto Rotten Tomatoes to like mash the down button on anything that has a female protagonist, that are really fucking pissed that maybe Godzilla and Kong, if they weren't adversaries, would dick down a little bit. And ultimately,
Phrasing.
Ultimately, it's fun to joke about that. And honestly, I don't care. I'm more interested in talking about like the end of the movie and the decision on like who won and whether they actually won or not. You know,
Godzilla.
I think Godzilla ultimately won.
He won.
He pulled back from the death blow, basically.
He still killed him because his heart was slowing down.
Although a death blow could also have existed if they started fucking too. So, I mean, ultimately.
That's how I hope to die.
Yeah.
Yeah. The big lizard blow. Dick.
No. So I will say this too. I was really disappointed, and it was only because I misheard something during the trailer, and I really was hoping that the two biggest kaiju would have fought a giant Caillou. And only because that cartoon got canceled. I'm just kidding. That was a stretch and a half. I was trying for a Caillou joke in there. And
I pronouncing that way, you sound like the dad that goes to a Mexican food restaurant and calls it the guacamole.
I'd like to get a quesadilla, please. And
oh, fuck me. I want a gyro.
Yeah. Well, kaiju means what? Big monster. And Caillou means bald, I think. So.
You're the expert, Smash. You
makes
let
perfect
us know.
Sense, yes. I've never wanted to punch a cartoon kid in the face so much, but I digress. Godzilla punches Caillou.
Yes, yeah, right. If I remember the process, like basically they fought, Godzilla got fucked up, then Mechagodzilla showed up and fucked up Godzilla,
So Kong and Godzilla go, if we're talking about just the final scene, Kong and Godzilla go at it. Kong is actually kind of kicking Godzilla's ass. And then Godzilla, like, I guess was holding back and he said, fuck it, I had enough. And he like crawls. He goes down to all fours and like charges Kong and starts beating his ass to where Kong is on the ground and Godzilla's like beating his ass while Kong's on his back and kind of pushing him like across the ground until he finally gets him to a spot. And he stands up and puts his foot on Kong's chest. And he's like, submit, bitch. And Kong does.
And then
like, well, that's the thing that made no sense to me if you look at it in the lore sense is if he's king of the monsters and he's killing all the other monsters, which
if he kills those who challenge him. That's what a king does, right? You kill.
Correct,
it's treason.
But
it's treason.
If you're taking the storyline that they're giving where the Kongs worship Godzilla or whatever it is they do, they don't really ever explain it. Does Godzilla know? Is he the same god? Is he the same monster that they were worshiping, or is it like Kong, where he's the child of the others?
In Skull Island, they talk about how that Godzilla killed his parents.
Mm-mm.
I thought they said
was
the Skull Crawlers.
It was the Skull Crawlers.
Okay, my bad. My bad.
Yeah, and right. Yeah, with the with Kong. So Godzilla comes from a race, they actually find, I think in the first one, they have evidence of like the bones of one of them. Actually in the beginning of the film, in the first one, they find the Muto is what they call it.
Muto.
The Muto.
Yeah, yeah.
Thank you.
Muto.
They find the egg or the
embryo
spore
or
whatever. The embryo is inside of the body or the bone structure of a Godzilla. So, and so that's obviously like there was many of them. And then he's the last one.
And that's the thing. I feel like
King Ghidorah came down and fought too, as well. At one point,
they could have developed those things better to give a little more gravity to the storyline. But that's the thing I have the problem with. Like, you're going to explain this stuff in some sort of scientific manner. Again, totally on board believing that there's these giant monsters that have been sleeping under the, a mile under the earth or whatever, because we barely scratched the surface. But then when you take it into the next level of things that are like making people make these leaps, then it's like you detach it a little bit for me.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're going to detach it, give it an explanation. That's my thing.
Well, and that was the disconnect on the whole alpha thing, is that in King of the Monsters, they're just like, Monster Zero's from space. So the other monsters are confused as to who's the alpha, because you got this like space alpha and then this like earth alpha.
It worked in that movie, though.
And then
Godzilla
versus Kong happens, and they're just like, oh, yeah, there's two alphas, and that's totally normal. Like, they just didn't explain the fact that in the movie right before it, they were like, the whole plot was that there's only supposed to be one alpha.
And there were the three next alphas, movie, though.
Well, and then, but in the next, they were like, there's only supposed to be one alpha, but there's two because Monster Zero dies, and then Kong, who they've known about, they're just like, oh yeah, this other, we had a backup alpha.
Well, the big thing was Kong wasn't fully grown in Skull Island. He was young. True. So in this movie,
I did like how they explained that.
Yeah.
Potentially fully grown. And the alpha that Godzilla was responding to was the signal being created because of the human created Mechagodzilla.
Yeah.
So that's what he was going after. So technically, depending on how you want to look at it, there were three alphas or there's really truly only one and one that just came of age.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean, another thing that they did, which I thought was funny, and I don't think a lot of people realized, is with Mechagodzilla, when they found the energy signature from inside the Hollow Earth and used that signature to power Mechagodzilla, when they did that, and it was attached to a one of the skulls from Ghidorah, and that at the end, a cutscene at the end of King of Monsters is them, you know, that organization throughout the movie selling one of the heads. So, and they were selling it to them. So when they hooked up the brain,
The skull. Pacific it was Rim. Just the skull.
Yeah, the skull.
Yeah, there's no brain. It was gone.
Well, yeah.
Which is also weird, but yeah.
But, you know, being that powerful, you know, genetic information, especially in that world, you can suspend disbelief and say that when that energy signature passed through, it was actually one of the Ghidorah heads. It was that conscious that was in Mechagodzilla. That's why it came out, like, of the gate and said, I'm going to fuck you up. And that's why it was powerful, because it was that, it was actually Ghidorah.
Alien kaiju.
It was the Ghidorah consciousness inside of there.
Well, the thing that I found weird about that, and maybe I misinterpreted this when I watched the movie, they're going to Hollow Earth to find the energy signature to power Mechagodzilla. Okay. Mm-hmm. In my mind, I'm thinking they're going to have to harness that energy, bring it to the surface to power Mechagodzilla, and then all shit's gonna, you know, hit the fan. But basically they just looked at it and then replicated it up top.
That didn't
make any sense to me. It's like, oh, we just didn't know where to put the thing to make the thing to do this on our own. Like, it just seemed really bizarre to me.
And the bad guy should have turned channel the energy up the 2 mile tunnel from
up the tube
Hollow
hole
Earth.
The 2 miles, yeah.
that part of it was like
wait a minute, all they had to do was get a look at it,
yeah.
And they were okay. Like, that made no fucking sense to me.
I think they were working off of string theory. They were like, well, you know, we just got to match the vibration, just like hit the strum of the guitar. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, that's what the script writers were really looking at with this.
Yeah, just it was so much of a disconnect from what I was expecting. Like, you know, it's almost like they had to go in and charge up this energy from the center of the Earth that they couldn't get anywhere else, mm-hmm. and that would power Mecha. No, right. It was like, oh, just take a picture of this and then send it to those guys, and they'll just duplicate it up top. Like, right.
so stupid.
It was so weird. I'm like, well, okay, Jesus
Christ.
It was
weird. You mean weak? It was so weak.
Yeah, it was, yeah.
But, so, all right. Ultimately, from the end, the final battle, Godzilla does win, and Kong gets brought back through a giant electric shock charge. Then they, of course, which I called this shit, I know a lot of people did, where they're going to team up to fight Mechagodzilla.
Mm-hmm.
And then that happens. And then at the end, this was a really cool scene where they faced off at the very end and Godzilla let Kong go. And I say Godzilla let Kong go because Godzilla already killed his ass once.
Yeah.
Like,
they
Godzilla
did give
already
him
won,
the old,
dude.
Like, he nodded to him.
Yeah, he's like, I get you,
hilarious.
Bro. I got you. You help me out. It's cool. But
we good,
fuck
dog.
Around.
Like,
fuck
it was
around. Yeah. I'm going to fuck you up again. And I heard someone make a noise, but dude, he killed him. Everyone on the ground, the humans were saying his heart's slowing down. Godzilla fucking killed Kong.
They
if it wasn't
out
for the jump start.
The, like, tardigrade shock cart for King
Kong. Yeah, exactly. If it wasn't for that, Kong would have been dead. Godzilla killed Kong.
Yeah.
He won. He allowed Kong to live after that. That's where we're at.
Well, I just think it's funny you can jumpstart his heart with a
fucking bullshit. Yeah, the bullshit ship.
Enough to power Las Vegas.
There was no cutscene. Are they doing anything after this? Was this the culmination of the four fucking movies?
I don't know. They've got a Hollow Earth with a clear hole.
Oh,
to
yeah.
It, so.
Now the humans are living on Hollow Earth with I don't.
Well, also,
that,
The Kong family created doors on their throne room for a reason, because there's all these monsters running around. Now the monsters have a clear path to Hong Kong, so Hong Kong's going to be lousy with monsters.
So wait, they're regressing back to like the 50s where it was like everyone was fucking Hong Kong in the ass, basically.
Yeah.
Well, there is, you know, now like a giant every monster came to Hong Kong. It, so.
Yeah. Yeah,
well, you know, New York's destroyed. I think San Francisco, like, you know, half of like California.
But none of them have a door like Hong Kong does.
Nah, well, yeah, they're going to be, in the next movie, they're already going to be rebuilt a year later.
Well, Boston was the last movie, and it pretty much looks the same as it did before the kaiju got there, so.
Minus a stadium. Minus a stadium.
They need to do other cities, do like Chicago.
Now, why maybe not? Boston's actually affordable to live in now.
Like, oh.
Yeah. Godzilla stop by some deep dish.
But I think that's a good place to end this episode about Godzilla versus Kong. Obviously, we didn't get too deep into the mythos because, like, this is the American version and it's fucking goofy.
Yeah. And, the mythos is only like a fourth to maybe an eighth of the fucking.
Yeah. And
Americans can only pay attention for 10 seconds at a time. So.
Yeah.
No shit, dude. Oh my God. The attention span of this fucking country has gone to shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
So fuck. All in all, I did very, very much enjoy this movie. I'm going to watch it again. Because it was good in any kind of real way, besides just a fun, dumb, like,
it was
take
a romp.
Your brain out. And yeah, it was a romp. It was
monster
a fun
fighting romp. That's what it was.
And it was ultimately, if you are a fan of kaiju movies, even if you do like some of the social commentary, the main focus is monsters punching each other. Like, that's the whole
100
point. And there was a lot of that in this movie. So I do appreciate it. And I want to thank my panel for joining me on this journey to the Hollow Earth to to discuss what could have been death by Kaiju Snu if they decided to go the bisexual route. But no.
Look, Hollow Earth, Hollow storyline. They just
there you go. Perfect.
You go. So, your gravity is bullshit.
We'll find you next time for another episode GUI Nights, and then another episode of Geeks Under the Influence. Thank you so much for listening, and join us or die.
Shut the fuck up, Hobbit.
Join us or die! Join us or die! Or I will swallow your soul!
GUIPodcast.com
Ah, the monkey and the thing. They all did a bunch of things.